Psalm 37 was my, that was my, those, that was written for Donald A. Carnegie. I love Psalm 37. And about a year, year and a half ago, my favorite psalm changed from Psalm 37 to Psalm 66. I didn't say 666, I said Psalm 66. If you'd like to turn there, it would be good if you could be seeing what I'm saying. I'm a guy that can't read anything without just marking it all up. And Psalm 66, it's so marked up, it is unbelievable. And I want those marks that are on my pages to get into my heart, and particularly in my mind when I have doubts about things. You ever have doubts about things? When I feel like I can't, when I feel like I'm tired, when I feel like it's too hot. You people don't know what hot is back here. But you know what? God said, I got a special psalm for you. And this is my psalm for the rest of the journey. Carol and I are pleased to be with you today. This pastor and church does have and always will have a special place in our hearts. Thank you. Although the pastor now isn't here, or his father, obviously. But thank you for financial support and prayer support for over 30 years. Amen. You know what that makes us feel like? Pretty doggone special. It means so much to us that you have done so much for us and you've helped so many people to be reached with the gospel in Mexico since 1992. Today I want to talk about my special number. You already know it's number 66. It's Psalm 66. Now you say, these things that you're going to tell me, they actually go together like that? This is exactly what it is. I'm a weird, Carolyn, do not say amen. I'm a weird sort of a fellow. I got to do everything. What do you do with acrostics? Every letter stands for something, you know? L-E-D-D. That's what my dad would say. Let's eat dinner, Don, and everything I see is L-E-D-D or this or that or the other. And my wife looks at me like, what planet did you come from? And I think then, but I think now. It's not for you to be talking that way to me. Amen. It's my favorite number, 66. It's my why, number one. It's my favorite number because it reminds me of a very special event in my family. I was 10. The doctor said that my little sister Carol would never return from the hospital. Back then, they used to come and check on you. We were a Methodist family. We went faithfully. We were not saved. My grandparents on Dad's side were saved, but we were not saved. We never heard. And I didn't say there aren't Methodist churches where the gospel is preached, but we never heard in our Methodist church salvation by grace through faith. Many times the pastor would come and he didn't even have a Bible, and it wasn't because he was doing it on his phone. He just was flipping it out from his mind, you know, what he wanted to talk about that day, his favorite team or whatever. And I'll never forget when the ambulance came to our door and they said, I said, Dad, what are they doing? He said, they're taking Carol to the hospital. And I was the oldest, them, the oldest of the family. He said, and they said, she's never going to come back. Every day my dad and mom went into the hospital to visit Carol. She was three years old. But she lived 6 days, 16, 26, 36, 46, 55 days, 60, 65 days. On day 65, when dad and mom come home, they said, hey, we got some good news for you. Carol's coming home tomorrow. I'm sorry. I just cried. I was so excited. Bill cried. And she came home. And when she came home, literally, we acted like idiots. We jumped. I'm serious. I'm not joking you. We jumped and we kissed and we hugged and we cried and we ran. I never danced. Someone said, "Did you ever dance?" The only time I ever danced was that day. I mean, I was just jumping all over the place. And not long after that, God said to us, He said, "I was a prisoner of war in World War II just for a little while at the end of the war." He said, "I made even before that." He said, "I made God several promises. I'll never do this again if you get me out of here. And I will start doing that." And he said, I broke every promise I ever made to God. And so help me God. I'm going to find out what it takes to please Him. And I and your mother and all of us are going to do it. 10 years old. I can never forget that. I can almost see his face now and hear his voice. So I'm 66, my favorite number, because that's a special event in my family. My sister's still alive. Praise the Lord. And then 66, my favorite number because of Carolyn, you know it's coming. Because of a very special person I met at Moody Bible Institute several years later. We actually, in Moody Bible Institute, and I went there because I was called to be a pastor, a preacher of the Word of God. And Carolyn went there, listen to this. She thought it would really be nice sometimes she could be a missionary. She was in a missionary course. She was saved, I was saved. She came into English class. Tell you how she came into English class. She came into English class like this. She was sitting up there and I was sitting back here, and I'd kick underneath her little chair, and she would not turn around to look at her knee. Don't laugh. I said to myself, "Self, I got a plan." Dude! Doggone plans kill me every time. But didn't quite kill me that time. I said to my roommate, he said, "What's your plan?" I said, "Watch me." Well, see, they had those little book racks. That's what people thought they were for. It was for my foot's what it was. And I said, "When she comes in, I'm just going to pull it back just far enough that she's going to turn around and treat me like I'm a real live human being." I got my foot under there. There was no problem, but I pulled back too far and she fell on the floor. And I thought, if the teacher comes in, here I am. She said, "This is stupid to think this." I still think it, still thought it. I said, "If they see her," I said, "Please, I didn't mean that. Can you get up and get in the chair?" And she got up and got in the chair before Dr. Arnold came in. I said, "Thank God I'm coming here to be a preacher. Get kicked out because I got a plan." You know what I'm saying? It was bad. And she said, and I wasn't putting on the dog in this. I joke a lot. I was embarrassed. I talked to her afterward and I said, "I'm very sorry. I never meant for you to fall on the floor. Never. But it worked." And she looked at me, and you know what she said? Can I give it an acrostic? When she saw me with her eyes, she goes, "W-A-H, wah. What a hunk." And we had... So that was at Moody Bible Institute, and we had our first date. Now, a date at Moody Bible Institute was you got permission to maybe step off campus for a little while or something, but our first date was we went to the Sunday night sing at Moody Bible Institute. That was our first date. And she fell in love with me, and I fell in love with her. And that all happened. Our first date went together. It was January 19th. 60. You guys are pretty smart. It's a special day because 66th day, my sister came home from the hospital. Special day because in January 1966, I found the love of my life. She's a much better lady than I deserved. She's been faithful, stood behind me, kept our home and our meals and everything in order. And it's never once told me no. If I said, I believe God wanted us to do it, she was always behind me. I don't want you to clap, but I'm saying that's what my heart's saying right now. Then, 66 is special because I have a book that has 66 individual books. What's that book called? The Bible. 66 is also special to me because of a very special chapter, Psalm 66, which is where I want to hold corn with in the time remaining. Psalm 66, listen to me. Come on, listen today. Psalm 66 encourages me to focus more on God than anyone or anything else. A couple years ago, I got really frustrated. Couldn't remember things. I know your name. What is it again, sweetheart? I know her name. But I could have honestly gone into church and remember everyone told me the name. Can't remember them. Got tired. Got grumpy. You ever get tired and grumpy? That was a lie. You know it. That was a lie. And I finally went into the guy at the mission and I said, I'm going to come home. Now, what I'm telling you about isn't this. This is my field director, Terry Jones. By the way, pray for him. He's having some real heart issues, are they, honey? Heart issues. And I said, brother, I guess I'm leaving the mission. When I told him then in 22, and he said, let me ask you a question. You were a pastor for 19 and a half years, right? I go, how's he know that? He cared enough about me to remember that. He said, did you goof off all the time? I said, no, but I didn't. He said, did you goof off all the time? I said, no. He said, you've been a missionary now for about 30 years, right? He's got all these missionaries under him. Why would he care that much? He said, did you goof off as a missionary? I said, no, there's more I could have done. He said, that's not what I asked you. Did you goof off or did you have your heart in it? I said, no, I had my heart in it. And I said, but I'm not going to come home and only work part-time and going to receive the money. He said, we got a plan. He said, it's ARM, Assisted Relief Missions. And I said, yeah, but I don't want you to call me because I'm kind of tired and say, hey, we need someone to come into Costa Rica for eight. I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm telling you because it's true. I don't want to get down there for 8 months. I'm just tired. I need to rest, you know. And I said, I'm never going to work hard again. He said, well, we have this thing, and you don't have to go anywhere and do anything, but if you're going to continue in the Lord's work, you write it out, we'll take it into the board, they'll listen. If they approve you, then there'll be churches that will let every church know, Brother Carney's not working full time, he's working part time, and here's what his plans are and his goals. And so now we are ARM missionaries. We have new literature, new prayer cards would be coming out, but we're still going to be able to be involved. And I'm so glad. Our son Jeff came in. He'd been there for a while. He's kind of taken over along with Luis Balam, and they're working. More about this. You'll see a lot of pictures about this tonight. They're working on, we were given a property. It's the size of a football field, not square foot. And they gave it to us. You know how much he charges? It's free. Amen. And now we're building a radio tower, and they have it leveled. You'll see a lot of that stuff tonight in the pictures. And we've got people working. Of course, they don't work for free. We pay them. And we've got the Palapa built. And then we've got, there'll be another radio program. And he'll have the gospel trail where it's like the Romans Road out through all the places. Anybody that comes there. And we will have a lot of people coming there in this village. It's called Tatsibichin. Do you know why? Because there'll be things for them to do that they can't do somewhere else. Most of them don't have a place where they can play basketball or something like that. We're going to have a place there where they can do that. There'll be a place there that they can do other things. People are going to want to come to the village. And people that come to visit us. Are you listening? For missionary trips. Jeff is so good at that. He's planning that. We have this summer, we're going back a couple of times. He has 10 groups coming in this summer. Them, sometimes they're doctors, sometimes they're nurses, sometimes they do this, sometimes they're for sporting events, and all kind of things. He gets people there. The last group that came there, two men were in that group I want you to know about. I'm excited about this because I'm telling you about still being involved in missions and how I'm going to do it and what we're going to do. And then I'm coming with Psalm 66. And he has this group's ready to come in. Leonard is the one, Leonard Dulcie from Mansfield, Ohio. My wife's from Mansfield. He bringing in this group. And there's one guy in the group that 2 weeks before, now they were going to do physical work and all kind of stuff on the project there. A man fell down and broke two ribs. And he said, I've got to go anyhow. If I can't even lift a shovel or do anything, I want to go and I want to see it and I want to pray for it. And he came along. And Leonard's the guy that one day told me that he was going to do something. We were home for a furlough in 2019. He told me. He said that he was going to donate a kidney to someone. I said, did you know him well? He said, no, I didn't know the person hardly at all. I said, why in the world would you want to give him a kidney? He said, because I have two and he needs one. And we have all these groups coming in through, and that's exciting to me. And we're going back a couple times this year. We're going to be able to work with some groups. The last time I was there, you said, well, that's not much. I preached once or so. Sure. But I spent 8 hours, 6 hours one day gathering garbage on the streets of Tatsibichen. We're trying to show the people. Now we've got a garbage dump there. They don't live very clean. You know what I'm saying? It's not healthy. Right. And now they got a place. And now we were picking up the garbage. And now they got a place they can take the garbage to. And all that stuff. And these groups come. And they're opening up to the gospel. And they want to be saved. And in this village, that village, I spent over a year preparing a guy. In that village, they had a building for 20 years, but they didn't have a pastor. They couldn't get a pastor. And one guy, Madeleine and his wife, they were praying, God, we need a pastor. And I began to work with their son, their oldest son, Antonio. And he became and is the pastor of that church in the village. Amen. We'll be able to work then when we get to all this thing put together, we'll be able to teach in three languages. The kids are supposed to. They have to, but in the villages, they're neglected. An hour and a half outside of the city of Mérida, Yucatan. They're neglected. If they don't get it, no big deal. It is a big deal. Those kids are as important as the kids in the city. Amen? The whole point of the story is we'll be able to teach English as a second language on our radio programs. We'll be able to do all kind of things, teach all kind of things in Spanish. We'll be able to teach things in Spanish if I had to sit in the villages, and I'm not joking, I know what I'm talking about. They'd have knocked me out. I'd be able to teach what God said he expects of the men. He expects a man to treat a woman like a woman and not like a dog, not like a slave. Amen? And then for the older people, we have guys that are able to communicate. I can say, Bishani Kesh, Malo. I just said, how you doing? And I go, Malo is good. In Mayan, we'll be able to teach the word of God and all kind of things in Mayan as well. I'm glad that they're still. And some of those things, sure, we'll go back a couple times a year, maybe 2 or 3 weeks at a time. I don't know exactly what, when, where, and how, and why. But I'll be able, with my own home, to be able to teach and to preach the word of God. So that's what we're doing. God is gracious. God's provided for us. To me, after living just like this, we're rich, filthy rich, and blessed, double blessed. And I'm so glad. If your church continues, the church is only one so far, so, well, brother, we can't support you anymore. Okay. Hey, if you can't, if you, you know, God's going to take care of our needs. And we thank you for standing behind us. 66, a special event. My sister came home, a special person. We had our first date in 1966. A special book, the Bible, special chapter, Psalm 66. Now let's hoe corn, and I'm watching the clock. They said that I need to be out here by 1:15, and I promise you. Okay, 1:10 then, I think he told me. All right. Psalm 66, look at it in your Bible. I want to tell you, Psalm 66 is good. And you know what? Listen to me. Can I just talk to you like a real human being?
Come on.
I feel weak. I feel useless. Don't. I'm just telling you. The stuff I used to be able to do, I can't do anymore. But I'm not have suffering terrible like even people like your pastor. Big whoop. My problems ain't nothing. And Psalm 66 here teaches me that instead of thinking about what I used to be able to do and can't do and focusing on me and what are people going to think about me, Psalm 66 encourages me to focus more on God than anyone, anything else, including on Donald Arthur Carney, and make him not number one in my life, but my favorite, listen to me, my hero. Now, I'm not getting into political things here or even independent. Fundamental Baptist things here. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes we take human beings and we make them too high. The one we need to make high is Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so here in Psalm 66, now I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. Psalm 66, it's the title in my Bible. It says it's the great works of God. But listen to me. God and what God does is the theme of Psalm 66. God's name is used 9 times. Look with me. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God. Verse 3, God. Verse 5, God. Verse 8, verse 10, verse 16, verse 18, verse 19, verse 20. One of those times, like in verse 18, it uses the word Lord. It's talking about Him. God, the creator of everything, the savior of all. Amen. Focus on Him.
Amen.
It ain't how you feel today. If God's feeling okay, we can go forward. If God's not discouraged today, then I can move on. Amen. If God isn't stingy today and said, well, I'm not going to provide for your needs. God ain't stingy or tired. God is God. He's mentioned, but that's not all. If you study your Bible, and I like to dig into details, 32 more times it uses words like he, his, him, thou, thine, thee, thy, which. They're all referring to God. So really, like specifically, 41 times in this psalm of 20 verses, it's God, God, he, thou, God. We need to focus on God. If you don't get anything more out of the message today, here it is. Focus on God. Everybody says TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Well, I got a better one. Today and every day, God is first. God is my focus. The works of God are mentioned directly. Look at verse 3, what it says about, what, this is what He can do. How many of you need God to do something in your life now? Come on, raise your hand. Oh, come on, put it up. Someone might see it. That's okay, put it down. Look what it says about God and His works. In verse 3, it says, say unto God. Now tell Him, don't just tell Him in the church. Say unto God. You know what, God? Hey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You're terrible. That doesn't mean bad. It means unbelievable. He can do things that nobody else could even dream about or think about. Proof? Universe. Universe. Made it all from nothing. He thought it. He put it in motion. And so when I get tired and can't remember names, you think that's the end of the world? I don't think so. If I can't do things, you can't do things you used to be able to do. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think so. God's still alive and well. And if we're in His family, we're If we've received his son as our Savior, we're in his family and ain't no way of getting out. Amen. God's works, what he can do. I could give you a list of things that God's done for us. Can I give you just one? Just one little, you'd say it's a dumb one. Well, it may be dumb to you, but it wasn't dumb to me. We were passing a church near where the Pittsburgh Steelers have their training camp. In Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And we had this family, and she'll know. Carolyn, did we have all nine of our kids there? Was John born yet? Who knows? He's the one saying, "Hey, mister, you ain't got no hair up there." Doesn't matter when he was born, amen? But I remember we had to pay our taxes. We always pay our taxes. We report it right and pay them in time. And we're 2 weeks away, and I don't have enough money. We don't have enough money. Now, maybe sometimes as pastor, we were pretty careful with our money. Maybe sometimes we didn't make a whole lot of money. But and I said, "God, I want to pay my taxes." Some people picture God, all he cares about is these spiritual parts of my life. To him, every part of my life is spiritual. Amen. It's all got a relationship, connection with him. Come on, amen. Yes, dear God, could you do something, please? This is in Bradenville, just in a little place. And our car, and I look outside, and I listen, and I go, guy crashes into our car. I go out, and he said, and I know he was honest, because he said, I'll even give you this here, my license or whatever you need. I'm not joking you. He said, I was completely at fault. He said, "I'm going to pay, but I want to pay you with cash. And I'll pay you within 3 days. I'll give you this, my license and other things." And I checked, okay, it's legitimate. And I was so excited. And then I was really excited then because God was so gracious to me. He didn't do enough damage. God knows how to figure stuff out. He knows it down to the detail. He'd be a good bookkeeper for any one of us. Amen. He knew if he lets it be too much, then I won't have a way to get my family and not everybody in their Volkswagen can take you and your nine kids to the church. There's just not room. And God knew how to do it so that he gave us enough money. When he gave me that cash, I could still drive my car. It needed a little attention. It looked a little sick. But it sometimes looked a little sick just with all those heads sticking out the windows. Amen. And we were able to pay our taxes in time and later get our car fixed. I'm telling you, this is what this psalm is about. God is great. The things he does, he says in verse 3, they're impressive. Look in verse 5. He said, no. Verse 5, come and see the works of God. He's terrible. I mean, unbelievable in what he does. Verse 16, I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Am I right or am I wrong? I could stand up now, couldn't you, and give a list of 20 or 25 things that God's done in my life, but unbelievable. Yes or no? Yes or no? We could. You know what? Maybe we need to do more of that. Unless I wish that.
Yes, sir.
Or I can't do now. And let's just think about God. He's not tired. He's not clueless. He's not stingy. He's looking out for Donald and Carolyn. And we gave all our kids the same first letter in their name because we didn't want to forget them. And it's Julie, Jeff, Jill, Jenny, Janice, Joe, James, Joanna, John. And if we had another, we were going to call it Juniper, but we didn't have any more. That's all we had. The person who focuses on God, this psalm says, is going to be happy. I can't do it now. Verses 1 to 4. He's going to be humble. He's not going to think, boy, look what a big deal I am, because it ain't what I've done. It's what he's done for me and through me. And I'm going to be a holy person. If God's the focus of our life, this is my conclusion. If God is the focus of our life, we will. Verse 2. You read this when I'm done preaching. You'll see it's there. We will sing and honor God by praising him. We will brag not about God, verse 3. We will brag to God for what he has done. Did you ever just sit down and say this to God? Can you still hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you still hear me?
Yes,
we can say it to God. God, I can't believe what you've done. Tell him.
Yep.
We need to sing and honor him by praising him. We need to tell him face to face, spiritually speaking, brag about what he's done. Verse 4, we need to worship him. Him only. We need to sacrifice to him. Verses 13a and 15. Can I ask you a question? What sacrifice are you going to give him today? Well, I give faith promise missions. I don't doubt that. And I don't doubt that it's a sacrifice. But what other sacrifices can we give him? What can we give up? Could we sacrifice our health for him? Could we sacrifice this, that, the other? Verse 13 says, then we need to keep our promises to him and constantly tell others what he's done. The song says it this way. It says, who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name and feel my hurt? Who am I? I'm yours. Are you his? When did you become a member of his family? It's by grace through faith. Nothing else. And he makes us, by placing our faith in him, repenting of our sin, he makes us part of his family. I'll tell you one thing. I was proud of my human family, but I'm really proud of my spiritual family.
Amen.
God and God alone has done more for me than anyone else ever has done or ever could have done. Instead of worshiping other people and making them my heroes, instead of trying to worry about what people think about me and raising myself too high, I should get down on my hands and knees and worship God alone and honor him about everyone and anything else. Because of the the program we have with BMI, we can continue to serve. We can continue to work in the radio thing. We continue to share the gospel and reach people for Jesus Christ. Psalm 66 is my favorite psalm. Maybe it'll never be your favorite, but I hope it'll be one that you'll learn and study. Now tonight I'm going to tell you why it's important, not only to give the word in the village, in the cities, but in the villages too. Lord Jesus, thank you for being here. Help us tonight, today, and tonight. Help us to be faithful, Lord, to come to your house. Help us to have open hearts. If there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, help them to realize they don't have anything to give you but themselves, their lost sinner. And Lord, help them to receive you as their Savior. Stir our hearts as Christians. Help us to determine to give more, I mean of ourselves, and to be more than we've ever done and been before. In your name we pray. Amen.